This is Laura Deirdre with the Becker's Healthcare Podcast. I'm thrilled today to be joined by David Munns, Interim COO of Artesia General Hospital in New Mexico. David, it's a pleasure to have you on the podcast today.
Well, it's great to be with you. I appreciate the opportunity to be involved.
Fantastic. Well, I know we've got a lot to talk about, a lot happening in the healthcare industry right now, but before we dive into my questions, can you tell me a little bit more about yourself and your background?
Well, I had a 23-year career in the United States Air Force. About 10 years of that was as an enlisted medic where I did bedside care. I have found that to be extremely valuable for me as I have progressed through time and worked in the administrative side of the world to have that background. But a 23-year career in the Air Force, have worked at three different facilities in executive leadership, and three of those or four of those, have been in executive leadership, and three of those as a chief operating officer. So I have a fairly wide range of experience in inpatient and outpatient work and different facilities, different parts of the country, Mississippi, Arkansas, New Mexico. So I have a fairly wide range of experiences and things that I draw from in terms of putting my leadership style together and how I move forward.
Absolutely. Wow. You know, and that sounds like such a fantastic base for your career and journey. When you're thinking about all the different places you've been and roles you've had within the Air Force and the healthcare field, what really stands out to you? What have you taken away from that and now are bringing into your role as the interim COO?
Well, as I had mentioned before, 10 years I spent as a doing bedside care as an enlisted medic. I worked in a little bit of anything and everything. I worked in emergency rooms. I was the only guy on a labor and delivery unit for several years, a variety of different things. And it was really those days of having that face-to-face interaction with patients and families that I believe gave me a good base of groundwork to start my career on the administrative side. And I try never to forget where I came from and how I got started, because that's really why we're all in this business, is to take care of the patients and the families.
Absolutely. I think that makes a lot of sense. It just sounds like a fantastic way to really bring that into everything that you do every day. Now, what are the issues that you're spending most of your time on today?
Well, at the moment, I am moving. I'm getting ready to move out to New Mexico to start my interim work there in Artesia. And so for the first time in my adult life, I've actually taken off several weeks to spend time with my family. I have an adult son with cognitive disabilities that he and I have gotten to spend more time together than we have in years. So it's really been refreshing. I think it's put me in a good mindset to move forward to my next job. I've also spent time, I am a adjunct instructor with the University of West Florida as well. So I've also spent time with students who are preparing for a career in health administration. So that's always something that excites me as well, is having time to spend with young people who are working their way into the industry and giving you an opportunity to give them some perspective of how the world has changed and things they have to look forward to and to prepare for.
Absolutely. Wow. And so when you're working with those students, what do you tell them in terms of advice for really taking into their careers and building a role as administrative leaders in healthcare? What is essential for them to be successful?
Well, I think the key really is flexibility. The example that I often give them is someone who finished a master's degree, or any degree for that matter, it's say in 2011, within a year or two of that, there was a number of Affordable Care Act and a number of other pieces of legislation made it through and was activated that then completely changed the dynamic of healthcare. And this won't be the last time that happens. So I really emphasize to a lot of these folks that you learn everything you can learn in school, but you have to be flexible and you have to be a continuous learner. The learning doesn't stop once you leave the college environment. So that flexibility and the willingness to be a continuous lifelong learner are huge assets.
Absolutely. I think that's really great advice and so important, especially these days with things in the healthcare field changing so rapidly amid the COVID-19 pandemic. Now, when you look at healthcare organizations, where are you seeing some of the big investments and in growth opportunities in the next year or two? I know there's just a lot of different dynamics and moving parts. And so from your perspective in going into this new role as the interim COO, what do you anticipate is really going to be top of mind in thinking about growth and spending resources in the future?
Well, as we talked before about being flexible and adapting to change, I don't think anyone in their healthcare career ever experienced change the way we experienced change through COVID, whether it was the clinical practice or on the administrative side or you know, whatever the case may be. But now we're at a point where, while I don't believe we're past COVID, I do believe we're at a point where we will learn to live with it and adapt to new environments. So we have to do that as a healthcare industry outside of it, both clinically and outside of the clinical piece, so that we have a good method to provide services to patients. A prime example would be telemedicine. Many of the rules and regulations and things were loosened up on telemedicine to be able to provide service and keep patients safe. We can now sort of settle into that, make sure that we're doing it the right way, and still providing that service, that additional service to patients, particularly in a place like Southern New Mexico where Artesia is. It will be important for us to look at ways to provide services in those rural communities. Mississippi is another one of those communities that telehealth has been extremely important. The Delta of Mississippi is particularly difficult to obtain health care many times. People don't have transportation. They don't have resources. So things like telehealth is going to be very important. So things such as that, that we can use to take some positives out of the challenges that we had during COVID, I think are going to be the things that move us forward. Those are the things that excite me in terms of taking on those kinds of challenges.
Absolutely. That makes a lot of sense, you know, and it's really interesting to hear about some of those similarities between the different areas that you've worked in and will be working in and looking at telehealth as being so important. And I know that one of the aspects of spreading telehealth and making sure that it's accessible by all and not creating new inequities by relying on technology where there might not be as much access to technology either. So when you look at kind of the growth and development of virtual care, is there anything that you're seeing that the communities will need to make sure they're supported in having the technology that they can use to connect with their healthcare providers in the virtual space?
Well, I think at the first and foremost, you have to look at your individual communities. If you've seen one hospital in one community, you've seen one hospital in one community. So the leaders in those locations really have to dig in and have a good understanding of what the people in their community want and what they're willing to participate in. We have had habits over the years as health administrators of thinking that we can put things in place, sort of a build it and they will come mentality, and it doesn't always work out that way. It's not worked out well for us at times from a clinical standpoint or a financial standpoint. So I would say that's the first thing. And then once you understand that, you have to have a good partner on the technology side. In Mississippi, for example, there are carriers that have sponsored studies to help us understand what parts of the state most need this sort of work. They've done remote monitoring of diabetic patients and cardiac patients and those kinds of folks. So, and the University of Mississippi Medical Center has done absolutely great work in leading the way, not just in Mississippi, but really in the country, in moving telemedicine forward. So it's important that you understand what your patients want and what your patients need. And it's also very important to have a good technology partner who can help marry up the needs with the capabilities.
That's really great advice. Thank you so much, David, for going through that with us. Now, before we wrap up our conversation, I have one more question for you. What are you most excited about right now?
Well, I'm very excited about the move to New Mexico. I lived out there many years ago, but I've not been back for quite some time. So on a personal note, I'm very excited to be headed back out to New Mexico. I'm also excited about our students, as I've had more and more exposure to our students that are coming up the pipeline to sort of replace the old guys like me. I think we will be in good hands. Old crusty guys have a tendency to look at the generation behind them and worry as to what's going to happen. But I think we'll be in a good place. The students and the young people that I've had the opportunity to interact with, they're sharp, they're motivated, they're bringing new ideas to the fore, technologies for things such as telehealth that we mentioned, how to use some of the technology better. I think they're going to benefit us greatly in moving some of those things forward.
Fantastic. Well, I think that just really paints a great picture of where healthcare is going, and injecting some of that energy with some of the new students and innovative ideas that they have coming into the field, the next generation of leaders, certainly has the work cut out for us, it sounds like.
Absolutely. They do. And the challenges, in many cases, the challenges I believe they will have, well, going back to our flexibility and versatility, discussion before, that they will have to handle things that we've not really even thought of yet. 10 years ago, no one had any idea that we would have COVID. No one had any idea that, of some of the natural disasters, some of the hurricanes and things that have come in Louisiana and Mississippi and so forth. Nobody had any idea those things were coming. So those folks will have to adjust and adapt and deal with things, overcome challenges that we've not even really thought of yet.
Absolutely. Well, David, thank you so much for joining us on the podcast today. This has been a really fascinating discussion, and I look forward to connecting with you again soon.
Great. Anytime. Happy to do it.